with the willing help of the media in America, an unseen Pied Piper of Hamelin is leading millions into a false hope. A hope that they can fashion their own destinies, empower their own choices, and make their own dreams come true, because they are, in fact, their own gods. This is what the Bible calls the lie. For the truth on this lie, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series on Oprah, miracles, and the new earth. Today, he'll help Christians learn how to discern truth from error when they encounter the lie for themselves.
Now, what I want to do is to bring this down. My original intention was not to preach only one message on this, and then I decided this needs another one, and I'll tell you why. I'm not even going to get to what I wanted to be my main text, and that is in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about the lie and lying wonders and miracles, and I'm going to tell you about people who have been healed by the devil. You say, well, how do you know that they were healed by the devil? If you come and listen to the next message, I'll tell you that. Satan is a deceiver, duplicating everything he possibly can to make himself look like God. And God says that in the end time, he's going to send mass delusion, that they will believe the lie, the divinity of man. But what does this all have to do with us? I want you, no matter how you're hearing this message, whatever medium you're hearing it through, I want you to be so discerning that you will recognize this teaching for what it is. And so what I want you to do is to help you. First of all, and we're getting now to some bottom lines, first of all, learn to discern. Learn to discern. You see, if you are reading these books or talking to someone who's into this and you said, do you believe in God? They'd say, yes. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Listen, the book, The Course in Miracles, that was written by a spirit guide, has a whole section on the Holy Spirit. Of course they believe in the Holy Spirit. All redefined, of course. And then the other question is, do you believe in the Bible? The answer is yes. I counted them. Eckhart Tolle, in his book, The New Earth, has 22 references of Scripture. Of course we believe. It's part of ancient wisdom. We revere the Bible. But what they've done is they've taken it and they've poured into it their own definitions. Could I give you a quote? This is actually a paraphrase, but it's an accurate paraphrase in the book, The Course in Miracles. It says that the name Jesus is a symbol which can stand for any god, any goddess. You can take and you can pour it into that name. Take the name Jesus, give it any label you want. You know what they're doing? Let us suppose that you had a bottle of water. And you have this bottle of water and it is good sparkling spring water and you are thirsty. But someone came along, screwed off the tap, poured the water into the sink, and then filled the bottle with poison. Put it all back. You take it off the shelf, there it is, sparkling spring water. Still the same label. How could it be wrong to drink it? I mean, it's got sparkling spring all over it. It's redefinition. It's a whole other faith. I was amused this week studying it. How people says you can believe whatever you like. All that you need to do is to get into this, and it'll take you beyond your beliefs into something deeper. And we're not even attacking Christianity. We're just bypassing it all. We're giving our own interpretation and our own definitions to it. An ancient man, I call him ancient, second century Irenaeus, said, error, in fact, does not show its true self, lest on being stripped naked it should be detected. Instead, it craftily decks itself out in an attractive dress and thus by an outward false appearance presents itself to be more true than truth itself. And we're living in an era of mass delusion and deception. So first of all, learn to discern. Second, learn to interact. What a tragedy it would be if we lived in a day like ours and we didn't take advantage of what was happening. You know, Spurgeon said that he would much rather preach to someone whose soil, so to speak, is growing weeds than soil that is so hard that nothing is growing on it. The fact that people are looking into spirituality could turn out to be one of the greatest opportunities for the Christian church that we've ever had, because people are into spirituality. You say, how do I begin a conversation with someone? My friend, I thank you for asking me that question. I appreciate it so much. If you tend to forget, would you write this question down? I've used it dozens of times in countless situations and never have had a negative response. What you say to someone is, after you get to know them a bit, and you can say this to a coworker, you can say this to your neighbor, just ask them a simple question. Where are you on your spiritual journey? Where are you on your spiritual journey? And people will talk and they say, well, you know, I was raised so-and-so, but I've left the church. And they'll tell you where they are on their spiritual journey and their hang-ups. And if they become antagonistic to the Christian faith, please, please don't you become angry, but ask them why. There are all kinds of hurt people out there who've been hurt by other Christians. There are children who supposedly grew up in Christian homes who hate their parents because their parents were abusive. And so they grow up and they say, I hate my mom and dad and I'm going to hate their God. And so what happens is you find all of these barriers. Just listen to people. Lovingly ask them questions. Don't even think that you're coming with the answers. God will give you the opportunity to speak to others. But the world out there, imagine, they are out there thirsty, spiritually speaking, but all of the wells are dry. I read of one trying to get into this other zone, trying to connect with higher consciousness. I read someone's testimony this week, struggling. How do I do it? I think I'm connected, and yet I'm back in the world with all of its pain. The world is hurting. If you ask me, who would I rather have witness for Christ? Somebody who knows a lot but has no compassion, or somebody who's compassionate and knows very little? I take the compassionate person any day, because our world is so incredibly broken, and they do not know where to look for the answers. And if you ask somebody this question and they become angry and tell you to go you know where, smile and say, you know, I read the rule book and I discovered I don't have to go there. Are you with me, friend? Are we connecting here, or am I all alone up here? We have the priceless privilege. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone listening to this who's a Christian, you met one person this week and you asked them that question, where are you on your spiritual journey? In all my times talking to, over the years, hundreds of people on the plane, I've only met one woman who was so bitter. I said, clearly you've been hurt. I said, would you like to tell me? And she was so angry and so antagonistic, she did not want to say a word to me. But that's an exception. Most people out there don't mind talking. What they don't like to do is to have us jump on them and say, well, I've got all the answers right here. No, you listen to their pain, and God opens the door for you to share the good news of the gospel. The other thing that I want to say is that here at the church, we have equipping classes. We have equipping classes that will teach you doctrine, that will teach you the gospel and culture. Why? We want you to be able to dialogue about these things. I don't recommend that you read these books as I have, unless you're very discerning, but, you know, it's not that I'm saying, but we do need to know what is going on, and we need to understand our culture so that we can dialogue with people, that we can interact and not live simply in our little cocoons while the world is groping after God. And people are reaching out and saying, I'm empty. I've got guilt, I've got regret, I've got pain, I've got anger. Maybe the answer's over here. And we point them to someone who actually can save them. What is the bottom line? The bottom line is we have to help people to understand that self-salvation does not work for sinners. You just can't pull it off. You can't take that dirty heart of yours, and it is dirty. And if you don't think it is, it's because you're judging it and not allowing God to judge it. You can't take the dirty heart that you and I have and wash it with the same dirt. You know, if you have a well on the farm, and this well is dirty, and animals have fallen into it, and they have dissolved over a period of time, you can't say, well, you know, I want to wash it out, and the water that I'm going to use is the water from the well. Christianity is the only religion on planet Earth that deals realistically, honestly, and truly with the matter of sin. All other religions have to deny it. God has to turn out to be simply a bigger one of us, and that's the end of the game. Here's the bottom line. We have a Savior who can actually save people from their sins. We have a Savior through whom we must come. You know, I'm interested in the way Tolle, remember I quoted, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't quote the last part. No man comes to the Father but by me. Nobody comes unless he comes the way of the old rugged cross. Why? Because Jesus alone made a sacrifice that God, a holy God, will accept. That's as simple as that. That's why you must come to him. And even now as I'm speaking, there are many of you who are looking for meaning. You're looking to plug in. You plug in to the Father through Jesus, acknowledging your sinfulness, and he will save you. But as many as received him, to them he gives the authority to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. And the Bible says that someday every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord. Let's pray. Father, keep us from deception. Keep your people from deception. And help us, Lord, to reach out to those who are being deceived, the millions. Hear our prayer, O Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, my friend, the bottom line is this. We have two different paths that lead to spirituality. One is to go in within yourself, so to speak, your own consciousness, and to say that your own thoughts are really God, or the collection of thoughts that you have along with others, that that's what God is, and nothing more. Therefore, you can connect with God through meditation, through going through various rituals that enable you to disengage and in this way get plugged in to that side of the universe. There is another path, of course, and that is the way through Jesus Christ. And the Bible is very, very clear here that it is only through Jesus Christ that we get to the true God. So I lay before you today these two options. I thank you for joining us for this series of messages. Hope that you tell your friends about the messages, because we're living at a time when we desperately need the discernment to follow the right path.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series on Oprah, Miracles, and the New Earth, a critique of the new spirituality. Tomorrow, how the lie will play out in what the Bible calls the last days. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours as a book from Moody Publishers. Oprah, Miracles, and the New Earth will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.